Let's turn now to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians, and reading in chapter 5. The focus of this chapter is on purification, especially in this context with regards to the local church. But of course, the principle applies equally well to our own souls, as we will see, and the need that we have to purify ourselves from the sins that war against us. Let's hear the word of the Lord. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Amen. Now I said before that I wasn't going to preach a sermon, and I will stand to that and resist the temptation, although it is a temptation with such a powerful passage before us. Just read again verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, and so on. Christ, our Passover. Is that not a beautiful statement, tying together so neatly, so appropriately, the prophecies, the types of the Old Testament that foreshadow the coming of the blessed Lord Jesus, and then showing us the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all that had occurred and had happened in the national history of Israel. Christ is our Passover, if we are indeed the people of God. And let us just reflect on that for a few moments. He is our Passover. He is already our Passover. He is the Lamb without blemish, pure and holy, able to bear the sins of all his people. So it is that we lay, as it were, our sins upon him. And he is slain. And Christ has been slain. He is slain already. He is dead for us, and his blood, it covers over us. It covers the doorposts. It covers the lintel. It covers our lives, and we are sheltered, protected, under that blood from the vengeful wrath of God, the just and holy wrath of God against sin. And so we see salvation as being entirely the work of God. We see it all as being the blessed achievement of Christ, and so we are led not to praise ourselves and not to think about ourselves as we enter this communion season, but rather to lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus, to He who is the feast, to He who has died as a ransom payment to pay the price for all our sins. And therefore you see the practical instruction that is given. Because Christ is dead for us, therefore purge out from yourselves the old leaven. Now the children are maybe sitting and thinking, well, what is leaven? Leaven is a substance that you add to bread to make it rise, so that it's got the pockets of air that you had in it. Otherwise it would be a bit more like a flat oat cake with no air through it, with no soft cakey texture. It would just have a hardness of flat bread. And so the leaven is added to give it that quality, that character. It's not essential to the bread. It is a luxury item. And of course, in the historical context, the children of Israel were told, you're eating this meal in haste. You're eating it rapidly so that you are ready to leave. You have no time to wait for your bread to rise. You will eat it, as it were, like oatcakes, just straight from the oven, without leaven, so that you can leave rapidly. And so leaven is being used here as a picture of sin. Sin that burdens us, sin that holds us back, sin that ties us down in this world. And just as the children of Israel were told to purge out the leaven from their houses, to get rid of all this leaven that symbolised sin, so we too must get rid of the real sin. The sin that burdens us and that holds us back from the service of God. Reflect upon it. Are you conscious of sin remaining in your life? As you look ahead to a communion season that's to come, most of you are the Lord's professing people. You've professed His name for many years. You've walked in His ways. But oh, do you see the sin? Are you conscious of it? Are you aware of it? Oh, let's each one of us be honest with ourselves. Acknowledge, yes, there is sin there. Yes, it's still present. And therefore, let's come before the Lord, confessing our sin, acknowledging it, and asking that the Lord would enable us to purge out that old leaven, that vile sin, out of our heart, out of our lives, so that we would indeed be fit and ready for the service of the Lord. And therefore, you see the result of that. We're told, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Like the dough, when no leaven has been added, that can be cooked so quickly and can be eaten so readily. So it is with us, when sin is purged out of our life, when we are sheltered under the blood, then we are ready for the service of God. We are new, made new in Him. Our whole outlook on the world is new. Behold, I make all things new, saith the Lord. And isn't that our experience when we came to the Lord Jesus, that we saw all things new? I had that experience myself just this week. Ever since I came to Point, I've had a study window that's had moisture all through the pane. It's one of these double glazed windows, and of course the sealant around it had failed, and so moisture had got in, and it was a bit like a windscreen without the wipers going. It was blurry, it was hard to see out of. There was no pleasure in looking out of it. But now, having had the window replaced just this week, how beautiful to look out upon the view. What new sights there are to appreciate when I can see clearly. And so it is with our Christian life. We now see all things clearly. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see His love and we see His mercy. And therefore, if we can bear to, let us turn these clear-seeing eyes upon ourselves and acknowledge, yes, there's still sin there. Yes, we are far short of Christ. And therefore, let's ask for His purging, His cleansing, His work within our hearts. With this purpose, that we may be ready to leave, so that we will sit lightly to the things of this world, like the people of Israel in Egypt that will not be loving their captivity, but ready in a moment to head off, as it were, with our loins girded, with our bags packed, ready to go. Oh, that each one of us would be ready to depart from this world with a moment's notice, ready to go into heaven, knowing that's where my home truly is. That's my promised land, and I'm ready to leave for there, and there's nothing in this world to hold me back. That is my place. And therefore, with these thoughts, let us come and partake of the Lord's Passover. Let us share in his meal. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So it is that when we come to the Lord's table, we feast upon Christ. We taste him, we relish him. He who has died for us, and he who has provided this blessed feast of forgiveness of sins, of transformation by the power of his Holy Spirit, of an everlasting inheritance. We take our share in him, and we delight in it, and we enjoy it, and we relish the privilege. He is our Passover. Christ, our Passover. And so we enjoy him, and so he assures us and encourages us for all that lies ahead of us. Amen. May the Lord bless us, these thoughts, and enable us to benefit as we enjoy this communion season together. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O most holy God, we honour and praise thee as the Lord our Passover. We bless thee for the beauty of Christ's fulfilment of that type. We rejoice in him who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And oh, as we look with the eye of faith upon that Passover lamb slain, oh, let us see Jesus Christ, slain for our sins, dead for us, having bled for us, and yet wonder of wonders, restored, resurrected, exalted, up on high by the power of Almighty God. Oh, he is our Lord, he is our King, and oh Lord Jesus, we worship thee this night. Our desire is that at the communion table we may draw near to thee and truly feast upon thee with faith, discerning thee in the elements that lie before us, in these illustrations of the blessed spiritual gifts which we experience at thine hand. So, O Lord, continue with us and grant us much of thy grace over this communion weekend. Bless us with thy presence. In Christ's name and for his sake.